Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Each week, our own Justin Klein offers his assessment of the market, economic trends, opportunities. This week, what could a Trump presidency mean to your portfolio? Watch his InvestTalk View right there on the homepage of InvestTalk.com. And now, today's podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the, what is it, Wednesday edition of Invest Talk, November 16th, 2016. Now, I really do appreciate you being with me. We're here to help you feel more confident, try to make you more assured that you're making the best possible decisions about your money. Today, we're going to talk about financial risk. And I know I talk about financial risk or risk management all the time. Managing, reducing, confining, moderating, anything about risk. In the world of investing, we're talking about managing exposure to that risk. And what are, you know, particularly credit risk and market risk, okay? Credit risk, where, you know, we buy bonds, what's the credit risk there? Or even stocks have credit risk, but more market risk in stocks, less so for bonds. But both of them have market risk and credit risk. And you got the foreign exchange risk, volatility risk, sector risk, liquidity risk, inflation risk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Financial risk management requires identifying all the risk sources, where the risk comes from, and developing a plan to address those things. So, you know, you can hedge risk off. You can do all kinds of things. But risk management is kind of important. And I think a lot of people forget about it when they... looking at their portfolio. They're just looking at this stock or that stock, and I like this stock, that stock's not working, instead of the whole portfolio and what is the risk level that you're taking. So today we're going to talk about risk. So I hope you'll stay tuned. We have six questions to ask you to help you determine what risk is in your portfolio. Do you understand what risk is? How to judge it? That's hard to do sometimes. So that's going to be one of our main talking points. Obviously, after the Great Recession in 2008, when we saw half of the value of investment portfolios disappear, many investors are pretty heightened about the awareness of downside risk, the dangers. Of course, if you would have stayed with the market, you would have got it all back in a year. So, but there are more and more and more of us becoming more risk averse, and they actually should be. As we get older, you should take less risk. Now, okay, so that we're going to talk about that. Someone who, you know, you're going to be a person, you can tell if you just look at yourself, if you kind of are worried about the market and you're invested in stocks and you're really, really worried about it and you'd rather maybe buy bonds or leave my money in cash, you're kind of risk averse. It's neither good nor bad. I just want you to identify who you are. If you're in the market, you're always in the market, you don't mind taking a risk because you really like the reward possibilities and it doesn't matter, you still want to be there even though it's higher risk, then you're not risk averse. It's as simple as that. And then it's the in-between part where it's a fluctuating scale in between. And where are you? Where do you want to be? Anyway, so that's what we're going to talk about. I've got a bunch of other things we're going to talk about. So, you know, here at KPP, you know, we manage the risk. That's our job. And depending on which portfolio we're in, how much risk you want to take, we have different kinds for higher risk and lower risk. And that's what we do. We manage the risk. And even in the portfolios we're in, there's a range of risk that we move to up and down risk levels depending on what the market's doing. Okay? Do you have questions about risk? Want to talk about it? Give me a call. As always, we can talk about any money questions you have. So let's go to our 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, guys. This is Tom in Salinas, and I'm trying to keep an eye on the U.S. high-yield bond default rate, and I have a few questions relating to this. One, how often is this statistic published? Two, where can I access this data online? And three, will I need an online subscription? Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I don't think so. The default rate for junk bonds is quite high, but usually when it's in recession, not when you're coming out of a economic growth pattern like we have been since 2009, default risk goes way down for junk bonds. So then when we hit the recession, default risk skyrockets for junk bonds. But I don't know. I know that high-quality bonds, the default risk is like 2 or 3%. It's really, really tiny. And junk bonds are much higher, 10 times, 15 times that. I don't know exactly. And where you can find that information, which is what your question is I have no idea. I just read various articles about it, but we don't subscribe to anything that tells us what the default rate is on junk bonds or any other quality bonds. We know what they are in quality bonds, and we stay away from junk bonds. I don't like to buy them. I don't buy junk bonds in my income portfolio where we do buy bonds, and then we hold them to maturity, but we don't buy junk. How much risk is hiding in your portfolio? Six questions. That's one of our main talking points today. I'm also going to talk about the EU. We haven't talked about the EU. And have you seen what's going on in Italy in the EU? There's some issues. You know, is Brexit, is Britain going to be the only one leaving the EU? I think that's a valid question. There's been articles. I've seen bonds. Bonds have been really getting hurt badly because interest rates have been rising. Remember, the Fed doesn't control all public rates out there. That's controlled by the market. Fed only controls the overnight rate it lends to banks. Lends money to banks, how much it controls what that is. And usually the other bonds that are issued by corporations and municipalities, they follow suit based on what the Federal Reserve is doing. But that's not necessarily true all the time. You've seen a really spike in interest rates here, what, 20% or so? 20% rise in interest rates since Trump and president. So I'm saying this because there's some bond gurus out there that are writing all kinds of, one thinks it's going to kill the market, one thinks it's going to really boost the economy, but kill the bond market. I mean, so I think we ought to just explore and talk about that. And finally, how about, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Have you seen the traveling rates this year? They're real cheap. Do you know what it's going to be like on Thanksgiving? Have you ever traveled on Thanksgiving? It is such a mess. So I want to talk about that a little bit, at the end, and where you can get some good rates and why is it happening and, how much more traveling we have going on. So what do you want to talk about, though? It's always the show is driven by your questions. It could be stocks. It could be bonds. It could be managing a portfolio. It could be anything financial. Mortgage rates, have you seen what they've done? They kind of popped up a little. About 4.02% for a 30-year fix now. And so we'll talk about any of that stuff. What did the market do today? It was mixed. Dow was down 55. The Nasdaq was up 19. And the S&P was down 3. So what we're doing is we're kind of waiting to let the market calm itself from this surprise Trump victory for president. Big surprise for the market. And I think most people, including myself, thought there would be a downstroke because of that. And instead, we get an upstroke. That's why it's so very difficult to try to time the market. It's just, you don't know. No one knows. It could go in either direction. No one knows. Everybody has opinion, but no one knows. So that's what we're dealing with. Now, I mentioned our risk analysis tool. I almost mention every day. This is an award-winning system that you can use to at two different levels. First is getting your own personal risk number. How much risk do you feel comfortable with, and get a number between 0 and 100? And that's determined after a very short series of questions that you answer. Then if you like, we can then take that number and help you determine if your current retirement portfolio matches up. In other words, the risk in your portfolio versus the risk that you want to take. You may find your current investments are too conservative or maybe too aggressive. Who knows? It's really easy to take. It's cheap. You can give it a try at investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Matt from Minneapolis here, and I have a quick question for you guys. Say, last week, Steve, I heard you talking about a stock, GWPH, and a pharmaceutical. You weren't quite sure how it made its earnings, I believe. It's been kind of a volatile stock, up and down, pretty good here the last couple of years and so forth. And I don't know if you found this out or knew this or not, but one thing that I found that is really benefiting its growth or giving it the pushes, it's a company that is coming out with experimenting with marijuana pharmaceuticals and experimenting in that area, and that's been a big thing for it and really helped it. Do you feel that it will be a good one for the future now that 5 more states have legalized marijuana after this election? You know, whether you like it or not, whatever, that's a touchy subject, but the fact is we have quite a few states that are legalizing it, and it is growing more and making more money. Are those stocks something to look forward to? Thanks. Have a good day, guys. Love the show.
Well, GW Pharmaceuticals, GWPH, is not making more money. It's not, sales are shrinking, and it's going to lose $4.75 a share this year after losing $3.34 last year. Next year, it's going to lose $6.62 a share. Sales have fallen from a year ago quarter. It had $13 million worth of sales in June a year ago. This last June quarter, $3 million worth of sales. So, yeah, I think, you know, I do think that marijuana is probably going to be legalized more and more and more, but it doesn't mean all the companies are going to be winners that use it. Now, I wouldn't buy this company. The company's worth zero and selling for $129 a share. It hasn't made money since 2013. It's been losing more and more and more money per share every year. So the only thing that it's just what I call a story stock. It's the story that is really good. The story is good because if more states are legalizing marijuana and this company develops cannabinoids for the treatment of cancer, pain, spasticity due to multiple sclerosis and other diseases. So it's not a question of whether I like or dislike drugs. What someone does with their own body, I think it's up to them. But as far as the company and making money, it's a $3 billion company. Has no hope of making money next year. It's going to lose tremendous amounts of money. The good part is it doesn't have much debt. Bad part is sales are going down and they're losing more and more money. I wouldn't be anywhere near it. GWPH is the symbol, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you want to talk about this hour? We got a whole another 45 minutes or so. You know, on our main talking point, it's all about, you know, figuring out the questions you need to ask yourself and how much risk you're taking. Now, one of the number one questions you should ask is, do you know how much risk, how much you can lose in your investments if the market goes down? How much can you lose in your bond investment if interest rates go up? And for a bond investor or the bonds that you invest, it's all about duration, meaning how long the maturity date is in your portfolio, and how much interest rates go up if they go up. For instance, a little example, $1,000 investment in a bond fund with a duration of 2.5 years would fall 5% to $950 from $1,000 to $950 if the interest rates went up 2%. But if it was a 12-year duration, same thing, it'd fall 24%. So if interest rates went up 2%. So duration is extremely important. We'll talk more about some of the other things you need to know about risk. This is InvestDoc. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Should you pay it off? I'm talking about your debt before you invest. Should you pay off debt before you invest money in the market? Just some of it? All of it? What kind of debt? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our InvestDoc number. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We call it the listener line.
Hey, gentlemen, Dan from Seattle. Really appreciate the show. It's been a valuable asset to my investing attempts. I wanted to know if you could take a quick look at Staples for a long-term value play. I know the stock's been pretty beaten up over the last year. Plays a nice dividend. Just wanted to get your input on it. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Staples, everybody. It operates 1,900 office supply stores worldwide. Targets casual customers, small and mid-sized businesses. They've had a nice move up from a low of $7.20 to almost $9 in the last week or two since Trump got elected. Looking at the company, it doesn't have any sales growth. Matter of fact, sales have been shrinking in the single digits for 2 years every quarter. Most recent quarter down 4%. Quarter before that down 3%. Quarter before that down 7%. Quarter before that, these are sales we're talking about. Earnings have flattened. In 2016, they were 89 cents a share. 2017, they're going to be 89 cents a share. 2018, they're going to be 90 cents a share. So, you know, it's flat. It's a very flat. It pays a 5.3% dividend, does not have a lot of debt. Management owns 2%. Mutual funds are just pretty much net neutral for the last year. Haven't sold or bought. So you need to buy this thing when it's cheap. And so now, if it's $8.98, let's just call it $9, and it's going to make 90 cents. So it's a 10 PE, right? The five-year range is 8 to 20. So return on equity is kind of low at 11%. Decent cash flow, and they don't have any debt. So it's a good, solid company. For me, I would not be holding this long-term. I think that I go through the sector as a whole. There's a lot of competition that they're dealing with here. And, you know, have you ever been in a Staples store? How busy is it? All the Staples times, I've been in many times Staples stores because I buy stuff for my office, but it is very slow. The one near us has like 5 checkout counters, and if there's 2 in operation, that'd be a lot. So I'm just not keen on this business. I'm just not. It's just hard for me to get excited about it. Is a company a good, solid company? Yes. Is it a good value? Yes. But I don't think you expect much from it because there's no growth. No growth. They're not opening new stores. They're shutting down some stores. I don't know. Staples, SPLS is a symbol. It's not for me. I wouldn't buy it. So we were talking about, you know, figuring out how much risk you have. We talked about bonds and duration risk. But bonds always sell at par. So if you buy a bond when it first issued at par, let's say $10,000 worth, when that bond matures, whenever it is, 1 year to 5 years to 10 years from now, you will get par back. In other words, $10,000. You'll get it back. And you'll get whatever interest rates you got, the yield that you got every year from that bond. But the bond goes up and down in value over that period of time. So you may feel you'll be losing money, but you're really not if you hold it to maturity. Same way on the opposite side. If interest rates go down, the bond values will go up, and it feels like you're making more money, and you're not, really, not on the bonds. So you got to think about that. Now, is investing in index stock funds less risky than investing in active managed funds? Well, it depends on your definition of risk. Index funds have a lot of risk. They're just in the market. They have the market risks. S&P 500 is the most common. Well, an active managed fund maybe could have less risk or more risk, depending on how they do it. Depends on their reaction. You have to kind of know. If you own shares in a mutual fund and you stay invested, while everybody else is getting out of that mutual fund or getting out of the market, no matter how good your holdings are, you still have a lot of risk. Because, remember, if everybody's bailing out of the market, including your bailing out of your mutual fund, the fund manager has to sell the positions to get back their money. So you can go down, 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 not just because of the market, because your manager is being forced to sell. So there's a different kind of risk there. Do you know how the value of the dollar affects your investments? Dollar going up and down. Well, it depends on the kind of investments you have, but the dollar can impact your investments greatly. Can you lower your overall risk by being diversified? The answer there is yes. Now, the more diversified you are, the less risk you're taking, the more less reward you're going to get. It's all tied. It's not a simple thing. It's something that you have to pay attention to. It takes time to pay attention to it. Okay. The market is still reeling from the presidential election. I think we're starting to see some calming now. Starting to see the market not, you know, because it was mixed today. It was kind of mixed yesterday. So maybe I still think we're seeing people, investors, not quite sure what they should be doing. I mean, why would you have a mixed market with the Dow down and the S&P up, whereas the Dow is making the new highs, not the S&P or the NASDAQ? So I still think you got, what you're seeing is a lot of transitioning going on, a lot of repositioning happening to what you're seeing. I still think that's going to happen, but no longer, we're starting to see some calming. We're open to your money questions and comments, 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through to me right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing. Coming up early next month, a free Invest Talk Wealth webinar. How to Prosper in the Year of Change, 2017. It's set for December 7th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. The economic changes may be dramatic. With a new president in the White House, likely higher interest rates, how will you respond? Join Steve and Justin for an hour-long discussion with some specific recommendations and also time for questions and answers on this live webinar. It is free, but you do need to register online. Attendance is limited. So just go to investtalk.com to do that, and you can do it right now. You're listening to Invest Talk, made possible each day by KPP Financial, your financial partner from here through retirement. And we're here to answer your money questions. Steve welcomes your call, 888-99-CHART.
This is Bob. How are you doing? Love your show. I got a question on the national debt. I think one of your episodes, you mentioned that we have a $20 trillion national debt. Wanted to ask, what are the ways to control it? Like, can Fed just not print the money? And I know there is a risk of inflation there, but what are the pros and cons? Like, do you think the Trump government plan of lowering the taxes, increasing the job, will that be helpful to pay off our or lower our national debt? And if it doesn't, if the debt goes on increasing, what's the risk there? Are we in a position to pay the interest on that debt, but how long it will be? I just wanted to get your perspective. Thanks for your time. Appreciate your views on it. Looking forward to hear from you. Thank you. Bye.
Well, there's a lot of things written about how bad the national debt and how big it is. And I just don't worry about it as much as I think a lot of people. Let me tell you why. Okay, do you know the size of our economy? $14 trillion annually? That's the size of our economy. Okay, think about how much money you make a year. Okay? Now, how much debt do you have? Now, don't make sure you count mortgage debt. Count mortgage debt. How many times your income do you have in debt? How many times does the U.S. government, the entire government, have in debt? Our debt's what, $20 trillion? And our economy is about $14 trillion? Now, I'm not saying $20 trillion is good. It's not good. It's bad. It's way too much. But we got countries around the world that are two and three times their GDP in debt. We're not even close to that. So I'm not saying that it's good. We need to cut down the debt, but I'm saying it's not panic time or worry time. Yeah, we can easily pay the debt. Now, how do you get out of it? Could we pay it off? Well, we could if we wanted to make an effort. You could freeze spending right today, all government spending today, just freeze it at the level it is now, and don't index it to inflation. Don't. And we'll pay off the debt. As long as we have inflation, the debt will go away all on its own. Because your income increases. The GDP number goes up. So the more and more GDP you have, the more tax dollars you have coming in to pay off the debt. It's not impossible to do. I wish that our government is addicted to debt. They don't have to, think about politicians. They like spending money. They could stop. Now, you don't want them to stop all at one time. It's like, trying to get off drugs. If you are addicted to drugs, you try to do it all at one time. You know what problems you have. You try to wean yourself off, and that's what we should try to do on the debt. Don't just go crazy. And, debt in itself is not a bad thing. It's not in itself a bad thing. Too much debt. And this is the problem. No one knows what too much debt is. No one knows where that tipping point is. Greece found the tipping point and they went bankrupt. Where's everybody else's tipping point? It's obviously not 200% times GDP because that Japan's way over that. Now, also, look how bad Japan's economy is. They've been struggling for years. So, you know, it's a hard thing. I don't think we should panic about it. I don't think it'd be that hard to start addressing it. And, you know, we can start addressing it, but Trump is not going to address that issue. No, he's going to probably drive us more into debt with fiscal spending. I think that will happen. The hope is that their hope is that they'll grow the economy that will easily, you know, outstrip the debt they're taking so that they can pay the debt off down the road. Well, that's a hope, but who knows? Who knows? The EU has the same kind of problems. You know, the EU had even more problems than we do, a lot more. Did you hear about Italy's GDP came out? And for the third quarter, they were all happy because they had 0.3% growth. 0.3%. We're unhappy at 1.5%, 2%. They're getting 0.3%, and they're all happy. Now, Italy is having some national votes to reform their constitution. And their prime minister, Renzi, says if he doesn't get this through, which will give him more freedom to help manage his economy, he's going to quit. I have a feeling there's a lot of unpleasantness in Italy and other countries in the EU about the EU itself not having any control over different issues, especially immigration. That's been a big issue. And you know we have a world populist revolution going on where they were voting in a lot more populist politicians into power. I don't know if that's a good thing. I probably is not. But because of it, you know, people are getting very nationalistic. And that could bode ill for the EU. What if another country drops out or votes to get out? Yeah, Britain. Britain was only half in anyways because they still maintained their own currency. But what if Italy decided, or Spain, one of the other weaker core countries, decides to get out? How long can that last? How long can the EU last if that happens? I don't think very long. I think it's if another main country like Spain, Italy, France and Germany are kind of the main two accesses there. But if Italy or Spain fall out, I think you're going to have a real problem keeping the EU together. When interest rates eventually do rise, fixed income securities will decrease in value, as they must offer a discount to compete with new high interest rate bond issues, right? So if you have a bond that you bought 6 months ago and paying 6% interest rate, and that same company is issuing a new bond now at 7% interest rate, no one's going to pay you for that old bond and what you paid for it, because they'll buy a new bond and get 7. So you've got to have an effective yield to maturity of 7% or higher for you to sell it. Therefore, the bond has to go down in value if interest rates rise. How do you manage a portfolio of bonds? It's going to get more and more important and more difficult if interest rates start to rise. And you see them rising in the last 6 or 7 days. I think it's got to calm down. I really do. But, you know, Trump was going to spend more money. He's going to spend money. That's going to cause inflation. And that's why the interest rates have been going up. At least that's the fear. Is it really going to happen? Maybe we should read more. You know, we have a paper on this called Managing a Bond Portfolio. All you do is go to investtalk.com, be an InvestTalk insider, and sign up. It's free on investtalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab.
If you're in the San Jose area, you can meet up with Steve later this month. He'll be there at a KPP Financial satellite office reviewing retirement portfolios. Each month, Steve sets aside a day to provide listeners with a personal look at their retirement portfolios to see how they match up with their goals for the future. Again, it's November 29th in San Jose. But if you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's easy. If you'd like to set a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Gene in North Carolina. Let's talk about the national debt. Let's talk about it. Go ahead, Gene.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You were talking about this a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
I think is the first concern not paying down the debt, but just being able to service the debt?
I would think so. To service the debt with our income to the government, our tax dollars, we should say. Yeah, that would be a first concern. We are servicing the debt, though. It's you know.
Right. And so the as interest rates rise, servicing a debt becomes harder because you need to pay more interest out, right?
That is correct. It becomes more expensive and more expensive, yes.
And so that squeezes out a bigger part of the budget.
That is correct.
So that's sort of the first concern, I would imagine.
Now, what's the offset of that, though? So far, you hit it right on the nose. But there's an offset that you haven't talked about, and that is, what if we have inflation and start increasing inflation, and then we pay the debt off, future debt. Remember, these are obligations of bonds in the future with dollars that are worth less in the future than they are today. That's the hope, Gene, is that we will have inflation and that debt in the future will be worth less. So you'll have more tax dollars because of inflation, not just because of a stronger economy, but also because of inflation. So that kind of offsets the higher interest rates. Gene, at least that's the hope, okay? That's the theory, okay?
So both things happen at the same time, that the higher interest rate and the higher inflation happens at the same time.
Usually it's tied, because when interest rates go up, it's usually inflationary.
Right.
It's like the chicken and the egg. Which one comes first, inflation or interest rates? Interest rates or inflation, you know? Usually they go.
So if that was to draw an analogy with a personal finance, it's like having an adjustable rate mortgage that increases, that you have to pay more interest on the same home.
Exactly. And at the same time, your income goes up, right?
Right.
So, but does your income go up faster, slower, or does the adjustable rate go up faster? Do you see how I mean? It's a very good analogy, Gene. So, yes.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
No problem. Yeah, I really like this kind of conversation because, you know, it gives us all a better understanding of what this darn debt issue is. Because what you see in the papers and on TV, it's always blown out of proportion or sensationalized some way. And if you just sit down and, okay, let's talk about the debt real life. It wouldn't take much to eventually pay off the debt. It really wouldn't take much. Because every time they talk about spending, when they have spending issues, they always talk about automatically increasing next year. Well, we'll stop that or increase it by half, the spending. You know, there's ways you can do it, but there's pain involved, and no one wants to take the pain. Well, then you live with the debt. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. Think about your own budget and your own household. It's the same thing, just on a big scale. But the difference is here is that the government is spending its own money. Your money, you're spending your own money. Government's just spending everybody else's money and doesn't care. That's the big difference. 888-99-CHART. Okay. We're talking about bonds. And if you watch the bonds since President-elect came aboard here, and you go to just the bond market, you'll note that the interest rates have already increased fairly sharply, okay? And that means, there's consequences for the stock market. Usually, and I've said this before, usually the bond market leads the way. If it goes down, the stock market will go down later. If it goes up, the stock market will go up later. Generally speaking, the bond market is considered to be a bit ahead of the stock market. It doesn't always work out that way, and we are in very unprecedented times. So I keep saying that you just can't use the same parameters as we used to because of the extra extra loose money policy of the Federal Reserve and our governments and the governments around the world. But we have already seen bonds start to increase. And most of the bond gurus out there, the really smart guys, and I'm talking about people like Bill Gross and Jeff Grundridge, they all think that this is not going to be that great for the economy. Higher interest rates. Because generally speaking, in the past, higher interest rates is a drag for the economy. Now think about this. The Federal Reserve is meeting next month. Interest rates are already going up. Remember, the Federal Reserve doesn't only control one rate. If interest rates are already going up, and if that's a drag on the economy, will the Federal Reserve want to increase their rate? Because already the market is telling us, hey, we think the interest rate should be higher. And the Federal Reserve is going to be trying to pay catch up. Well, I guess we better raise the rates. Everybody else is, you know, all the rates that we don't control are going up. And it just tells you that the Federal Reserve is behind the eight ball. There's been a lot, over the recent years, I have lost more and more faith in the Federal Reserve than I used to have. Maybe I was just too naive in the past. Because the Federal Reserve seems to be reactionary instead of being proactive, it's reactionary. I think they should have raised rates long ago, started long ago. We should be at 1% by now on a Federal Reserve rate. And there was no reason for them to not do it, really. I think they were looking at the foreign markets and more concerned about them than our own market, our own economy. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, and that was to get the stock prices up so everybody feels better, feels wealthier. They did that, and that's been years ago. So why haven't you been raising rates? Slowly, I'm talking about slowly, but at least get them up. Okay, let's get back to our 24-hour anytime listener line. Oh, I can't get to it. It's too late. I talk too much. See, this is what happens when I get carried away with a topic, everybody. I don't do what my program director says. As a bad host. You're listening to Invest Talk. Now you have a partner managing your 401k at work. It's a new program we have at KPP Financial called My 401k. You can find out more about it on investtalk.com. Just click on the investment tab and then My 401k.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
Yeah, hi, my name's Ed from San Bruno. I'm wondering about ETP. I bought about 400 shares. I wanted to reinvest some more in that. Thanks.
The answer would be no, do not. Now, ETP, Entity Transfer Partners, it is a $19 billion company, so it's not small. It's a master limited partnership engaged in gathering, treating, processing, transportation, storage, and marketing of natural gas in the U.S. Natural gas demand is going to go up, but we have so much of it that it's hard for me to imagine prices of natural gas going up, and that means ETP profits are going to be harder to come by. And one of the reasons why I'm saying no to more is because if you have you don't want to overinvest in any one stock. They're paying 11% dividend, and you're probably in love with that dividend. You're saying, hey, I want this position. But they don't have a long track record of paying dividends. In 2015, they lost money. This year, they're going to make 76 cents a share. Next year, they're supposed to make $2.06 a share. 2012, they made $4.91 a share, and then the year after that, they lost 23 cents a share. Very erratic in their earnings. Very erratic. So it's not a company that is like a big blue chip stable company. It is a big company, but their earnings are pretty much all over the place. So if you already have a position, I see no reason to add to it. Find something else. You know, don't overinvest in any one stock. Now, 400 shares to you is maybe 1 or 2% of your portfolio, then you could add to it. Get up to 3%. I don't have a problem with about 3% of a position in a portfolio. I even go up higher, a little higher than that. But I don't think Energy Partners is the one to do it with. Now, they've gone up recently after falling for 2 or 3 months in a row. The reason why they've gone up, of course, is Trump, and he is more of a guy who wants to be energy independent. At least that's what kind of been hinted at. But is it really going to be, and how's that going to help ETP all that much? And that's down the road. That's not today and or even this year or next year. Maybe 2-3 years down the road. You see, so I don't know. Not for me. Just not for me. $37 stock and it's going to make 76 cents this year. $2 next year. So that makes it a 17 PE based on next year's earnings. But the earnings are erratic year to year to year. So you can't, it's hard to judge whether that's a good value or not. I don't think so. Not for me anyways. 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. What about Thanksgiving? You know, it's coming up. Every year people travel, right? Thanksgiving, all to get the family. This year it's going to be worse than it has been ever. It's going to be 49 million Americans who will travel about 50 miles more from home. Okay, about 1 million travelers more than a year ago. That's about 2% jump. And there's a lot more people. 89% of Thanksgiving travelers will be by car, not plane. But what's really interesting is there's lots of competition to fly, and the prices are fairly cheap. $250 round trip from like Dallas to Los Angeles. On a holiday fare, that's very, very low. There's lots of competition keeping these prices down. Also, gas prices, airplane fuel prices, all are low. So it helps keep the traveling costs down. So we are here in the United States, we're using less and less gasoline every year. Not more, less. And yet we are still pumping more and more oil out of the ground worldwide, and we could pump a lot more here in the United States that we are not doing it because of the cost of gasoline. But we certainly have plenty right now. When we can become energy independent with the right policies in government, if they wanted to, it wouldn't be that difficult. If that was a goal. I just don't know if that's a goal. I don't know. But just so you know, it's going to be fairly inexpensive based on previous years to travel at Thanksgiving. But there's going to be a lot more people traveling, so be prepared. Our time is up for this hour. I have a new check update. I'll be back in San Jose for individual retirement reviews on November 29th. November 29th. If you'd like to meet me with me for an hour, you can go to investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Send me an email. That's all you have to do. We'll set up a time. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. And let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.